We get so stuck in our own situation. We get so stuck in how our lives are and what we're seeing moment by moment. We live heartbeat by heartbeat. We don't see past the next one. Oh, we imagine, we think, but we just don't know that. And as with each tick of the clock, each beat of the heart, we get one step closer to our last days on earth. And for some reason, we get lost in the idea that that is all there is. But Christ came to tell us that's just barely the beginning. Just barely the beginning. Life is not, or death, excuse me, death is not the end. Our death on this earth is a signal that we've begun something new. In John chapter 11, we have one of the most famous resurrection stories outside of the one of Jesus that exists, and that's the story of Lazarus. And I'm just getting into it today because there's so much in here, I don't want to just rush through it as we begin to share this time together. Death is not the end. And so, let's see. We have an extra page there. An urgent message comes in. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Did you run out of input on the right red button? That's your feed. Oh, got it. Okay, good. All right, so, Lord, the one you love is ill. This is a very important, urgent message. Jesus has a friend in trouble, and the sisters know that. They come from the city of Bethany, little village of Bethany near Jerusalem. And this family that lives near Jerusalem is one that Jesus has known all through his time, all through his ministry. It's where he's always come back to. It's where he's always sought to find his help and his hope. With friends. Now, he goes to God every day. But, you know, Jesus was totally human. Totally human, which means, like us, he also needed connections. And there's ministry friends, and there's outside of ministry friends. And that's also a truth. There's you know, as a professor with a class, you have friendships and connections there, which is somewhat something like what the disciples following Jesus were. But then there's also those that you're just close to. Those you just connect with. Those you just love. We don't have any other information about whether Mary and Martha and Lazarus had any distant relations to Jesus. We just know they were friends. They loved one another. And that's important to know. This family that loves Jesus is a family that he goes to for feasts, he goes to for, probably he stays overnight when he's going into Jerusalem for festivals and things like that. And so this love relationship is very important to Jesus. It was very important to them. And now Lazarus was sick. Now, you don't just send a note off saying, "Lazarus is sick," if it's a virus, if it's a cold, if it's something you're going to get over. That's the reality with these sisters. They knew that Lazarus was in his last days. This was a terrible illness. Whatever it was, we don't know what it was. Whatever it was, it had knocked him down, and it did not look like he was going to get up. And so they sent to him, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." It's a plea saying, "Come because you love him. Come because he's part of you. And that's the nature of our love with friends. Sometimes the love of friends is more important than the love of family, because we have more fulfillment and more richness there. We have a different kind of being with those whom we are close friends. And so Jesus gives an important reply to an urgent message. Now, if you've ever looked at any of the Navigators 2-7 series, you start that out with reading a message or an essay that's the difference between the urgent and the important. The difference between urgent and important is urgent is something that says, take care of me now, 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 take care of me now, take care of me now. It's like dropping a glass of water on the stage. You've got to pick it up right away. That's urgent. But then again, is that what's most important? The stage is going to dry. It's not really going to change your life, although it might change the pitter-patter of the heart of the housekeeper that happens to be nearby. But it's not going to change your life. There's a difference between what's urgent and what's important. The sisters had an urgent message. The one you love is ill, but Jesus had something else going on. So Jesus says, verse 4, when Jesus heard it, he says, this illness did not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. You know, these words really don't compute very well with us. Because it says, you know, this illness won't lead, or they called him, you know, the one you love is ill. And he says to his disciples, well, this isn't going to lead to death. It's for the glory of God. So the Son of God might be glorified in all things. And so Jesus, who loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, stayed where he was 2 more days. We're thinking, what? Why didn't you get started? After all, if we had called for somebody, we called for a friend, we called saying, it doesn't look like he's going to make it. We'd want him there as quickly as possible. But Jesus made a choice. He made this choice loving them. But he made this choice for the more important purpose. He had another perspective on what was going on. This is sickness, but this is not going to be death. Death is not the end. Jesus knows everything that's going on. We find that out in a moment. He's not unaware of what's going on. But he also understands that something new is going to happen. Something different is going to happen. Something unexpected is going to happen. Something exciting is going to happen. Something that will actually lead Jesus into more trouble is going to happen. But it's going to happen for the glory of God. It's going to happen that through God, his Son would receive glory. And Jesus, of course, is looking for the better purpose, the more important things. And so right here where we're thinking this is all out of whack, Jesus is saying there's something more important than whether or not Lazarus breathes his last. There's something more important. There's a purpose of the Son of God. There's a purpose of God in this. There's a purpose for you as disciples. There's a purpose that is far more than just this immediate death. There is that mutual affection I talked about. But still, Jesus tarries. The scripture doesn't say exactly how far away they are, but the message gets there, and by the time Jesus gets back, we find out later that Lazarus had been 4 days in the tomb. So he might have been more than a couple of days away anyway. He might not have been able to make the journey before Lazarus had breathed his last according to the ills of mankind. So he doesn't rush. This is urgent for everyone who lives by the heartbeat, but it's not as important as we might think. surprisingly enough. But that perspective of Jesus allows him to think differently. Then after this, he said to the disciples in verse 7, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Well, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Again, we have a passage that seems just a little bit, wait a minute, what's going on here? We're talking about Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We're talking about a friend who's dying. We're talking about a journey that needs to take place. We're talking about Jesus going to minister grace to this family who so desperately needs it right now. And he waits a couple of days to go, but at this time, he's ready to go. He's ready to carry the light. He pretty much knows everything that's going to happen, of course, in the time period, because he's been talking to God every day. He goes out every morning before the sun rises and talks to his Father. He ends his day after the sun sets talking to his Father. He stays in touch. He knows what's next. Although he's completely and fully human, he has a connection with the Father that began in eternity and lasts for that time. But the disciples, they're just thinking about today. Jesus, did you forget they're trying to kill you? Just checking. You know, that's the very place they think they're gonna. They have a better chance to catch you there. There's the temple grounds. They have guards. They have people hiding out. They have people along the way. Don't you know that they are going to get you? But Jesus switches the subject. He has marching orders at this point. His prayer time with God the Father has led him to know what he needs to do, when he needs to do it, and how this is going to happen. And so Jesus says, daylight is just half the time. You walk in the day because if you walk in the night, you stumble. And if you stumble, it's because you don't have life in you. Jesus knows that his time is short. He knows that the time we all face is short. He knows the time we live and breathe during a day is short. But this is not about the number of breaths we take. This is about light. This is about light. Jesus earlier in John had said, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter the epistle of John, 1 John 1, John tells us that in him is light, there is no darkness at all. He is the light that is the life of the world. He is bringing light into darkness. And even though he tarried, even though he held back, even though he waited for what's next, there was a time schedule that was going to happen. And again, as in all of the Gospel of John, Jesus is always in control of his own schedule. Whether it's journey or whether it's arrest or whether it's other challenges, he's always in charge of his own schedule. And even here, when Mary and Martha had sent this urgent message, Jesus, even for his best friends, still knew that there was a schedule to keep. Now, Jesus knew he was facing the teeth of those who wanted to kill him. He knew he was going to enter into a land that was going to be a challenge. He knew that he would have to fend off all of those that he had spoken to some months earlier in the temple grounds and rather challenged their idea about what God is about and what God is up to. He knew all of this. But he also knew it was time to carry the light into what had turned out to be darkness. Now, he wasn't going into Jerusalem at first. He was just going to Bethany. But as he was going there, he was going to bring the light that is life. And he speaks to his disciples saying, this is not about daylight. He keeps switching the subject here. This isn't about daylight, even though I said there's only 12 hours in a day, and you don't want to walk in the night because you're going to stumble. But if you do stumble, it's because the light is not in you. Oh. It's about what's inside. It's about who is inside. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's about Christ in you. You in Christ, and both of you in the Father, echoing the Trinity that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit have experienced throughout all eternity. He's ready now to carry the light. Oh, it's going to be a challenge. He's going to have to face down his foes. He's going to have to go into a place that is going to be, that is going to try and take him apart, tear him apart. But first, he's going to his friends. And when he goes to his friends, he's there to bring light. John chapter 11, verse 11. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. The disciples are still stuck on their heartbeat, which they like very much, their breath, which they like very much, their life, which they like very much. And going into the teeth of those who want to kill Jesus also means that his disciples are going to be challenged as well. And so when Jesus first spells out that they are going to go because of Lazarus, they're going to go anyway, it seemed like they were going to be all right. This urgent message had come, your friend is sick. And Jesus says, well, okay, I'll wait a couple of days. And then he says, well, time to go. Jesus, did you forget? Did you forget they're trying to kill you? And Jesus says, no, I didn't forget. I didn't forget. But he does tell them what's going on. He says, Lazarus is sleeping, and they're of course, as I say, they like their life very much. They like their heartbeat very much. They like their breath very much. They like living very much, and we should all like that. We should all be ready to live and live and live and love and all those things that God has planned for us to do. And so when Jesus says that he's sleeping, they said, well, oh, good, he'll wake up. But Jesus says, but we're going to go anyway. But won't he get better? If he's just asleep, won't he get better? He'll wake up. We don't have to go, right? But now Jesus says, all right, you guys just aren't getting this, are you? You're just not getting this. And so he says, oh, well, let's see. Pretty much as brief as the words can be, he's dead. I'm going to wake him up. All right, now their brains are really messed up. This doesn't compute at all. In fact, we don't hear much about how they thought about Jesus going to wake him up. This made no sense to them. The scripture doesn't refer to their thoughts about Jesus waking him up. The scripture just refers to something else I'll get to in a moment. But he says very, very clearly, Lazarus dead, I'm glad I wasn't there. And this just goes against our ideas again. Wait a minute, you loved him. He said he was sick. Then you said, let's go, and because he's asleep, and now you're telling us we're going now because he's dead. Are we going to a funeral? What are we doing? He said, no, I'm going to wake him up. But they're still after you, and it's just as the story is just kind of crazy here. But he says, I'm glad I wasn't there, because now when I go, you might believe something new. You might believe something more. You might see something that you've never imagined that God wants to show you. For they did not understand when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He didn't understand when he said, I'm the water of life. Didn't understand where he said, I'm the light of life. He didn't understand when he said, through my blood you will have eternal life. They didn't understand yet. I mean, they barely got anything till after the resurrection. And certainly this didn't make any sense. Lazarus is dead. I'm glad I wasn't there, because maybe now you'll believe. Maybe now you'll know. But Jesus isn't going alone. Into the teeth of the enemy, he's not going alone. Thomas, oh, we pick on him later on because we call him the doubter. But it's Thomas right here. I love this about him. He says, okay, boys, let's go. We'll all go. We'll all die together. Good for you, Tom. You chose love and loyalty. You decided that in this challenge of Jesus going in to the teeth of the enemy, in this challenge of coming along to your friend Lazarus, in this challenge where you want to see something new happen, Thomas boldly says, it's not about him or us. Thomas boldly says, now is the time for loyalty. Now is the time for loyalty. And he says, come on, boys, let's go. Let's go. Probably this is why the story about Thomas saying, unless I see the wounds in his hands and put my hand in his side, I won't believe that he is really bodily raised from the dead. He was probably one of their chief leaders. We don't hear it too much. We know that you've got Andrew, who's acting as secretary, and you've got Peter, who's kind of leading the charge, and James and John, who are always thinking that one of them's going to be on the right hand of Jesus at the end. You know, so you got those guys you always hear about. But I think Thomas was probably in charge of making sure they were ready for what's next. And so he was able to say, let's go. We're not talking about him or us. We're not talking about he can go and we'll stay here. We'll be fine. It's time for loyalty, and he was going to stick together. It's a wonderful part of the story as it kind of closes out, because the disciples, in hearing about this, they first said, don't you know they're trying to kill you? Then he says, but he'll get better. And then Thomas says, let's go die with him. Now, when push came to shove, it was a little tougher than that for them, but they figured that out. Death is not the end, and this is really the important thing for us to know about this whole story. We're coming closer to this the record of the resurrection that Jesus performs for his friend Lazarus. And Jesus uses all of these terms to say, well, he's sleeping. And then he says, oh no, but what I meant when I said that is he's dead. I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to bring him from death to life again. And he spoke about the light in the middle of this. Death is not the end, because the light of the world is available, and that light is the life of men. And Jesus is going to enter into this world of sin and sickness and darkness, where he has already entered in during this time 2,000 years ago, and he continues to enter into it right now for us every day, every week. We have this opportunity to just put our trust in the one who holds our eternity. He tells his disciples, this isn't the end. More is coming. This is going to work out for the glory of God. You are going to see something that you need to see, and I'm praying right now that you will believe. Well, that's what the story reads at this point. But the message for us is about where our trust is. Is our trust wrapped up in breath and heartbeat? Or is our trust wrapped up in who we believe? The light of Jesus, the one who brings light into darkness, the one who illuminates the worst part of our days and the worst part of our years and the worst part of our fears and says, in me, there's something more. Death is not the end. Let's go wake him up. Friends, Jesus says, let's wake up to the reality of the one who holds our eternity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you love us so, that as we live breath by breath and heartbeat by heartbeat, you know that what our next heartbeat is. You know what our next breath is. You know what our next event is. You know what our eternity is, and that's the more important thing. And you know it in Jesus Christ. In this story, we're reminded, thank you, God, for that reminder that in Jesus is light, and that light can be in us. We don't want to stumble around in these times when death tries to wash over us, when illness is more than we can imagine, when cancer is the word that we hear. We don't want to get stuck in that. But Lord, we pray that your light would shine inside so that hope pours out of us. And instead of going to die with you, we learn to live with you now and forever. Help us in our weakness and fulfill in us your purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing. My hope is built on nothing else.